Do we have a guest?
I thought we were supposed to have Sean.
Good evening, good afternoon, good morning, whenever. This is Hot Start, and this is Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie.
And we're a little behind the power curve
Way behind the power curve.
As you pilots know, that's not necessarily a good feeling. And we are joined by
Steve. Is that McCaughey?
McCaughey. I wanted to put an L in there.
Yeah.
You should do that and make it easier.
There you go.
Just kidding. Of the Seaplane Pilots Association, I love amphibs.
Thank you.
I don't even know why.
Oh, you should. You know, there's one thing that's really common to seaplane pilots. You can always, and I have to apologize because it's hard to come in here and be happy about flying seaplanes after
the sea tried to take over.
Yeah. But anyway, you know, there's one thing that's really resonates among seaplane pilots, and you can always pick them out in a crowd because they have a perma-smile on their face.
Perma-smile.
I'll tell you.
Have you been drooling on that gooey duck sitting over there?
Yes, I have.
That's a gorgeous airplane. They are kidding that, you know.
I know. I was talking to them quite extensively. I hope those guys take off and get that program going.
That would be something.
I'll tell you, the thought of flying an amphib, actually for some of us out there, holds a double whammy. Because first off, some of us have problems getting airsick, and now you land on a lake and you're getting seasick.
I never thought of that,
but
that's
possible.
We try to avoid
that.
Yeah.
That's a good time.
I got one question.
Yes.
How do you pre-flight a float plane out on the water?
Carefully.
Yeah, very.
It can be done. You walk out on the floats, pump the floats, and you can maneuver around. There's a wire that actually crosses across the front of the floats, so you actually have to do a little high wire act as you walk across the wire around the prop to get to the other side to do the other side of the airplane.
Either that or you buy an amphib and pull it up on land.
Yeah, I mean, that's the whole idea of having wheels underneath you is you can do that. So it's a good job.
So I understand that you're going to be landing some out in the campground? Some of those puddles are big enough.
So, but we're having a good event tonight. I didn't know if you guys knew about it. We're having our annual corn roast, which is all the way down at the end of the aircraft parking area, down by the amphib parking. And there's an access gate through the fence down there. And if you go through that fence, just to the left side, there's a 100-foot by 60-foot circus tent. And we get 600 seaplane pilots together and have a big dinner. And you need to get the tickets ahead of time today. Which are in our booth over in Hangar C.
Hangar C.
And they're $25. And if you want to ever, you know, if the listeners out there want to find anything out and really get to spend some intimate time with 600 seaplane pilots that are out there doing it, it's a great opportunity.
They don't hangar fly. They lake fly.
Lake fly. They really do.
You see them on the shore.
Yeah, yeah.
So we had a good time. Actually, one of the albatrosses that's here, we have two albatrosses here today, and one of the albatrosses, as I did my type rating in, and the crew for it was actually present at my wedding, which we did in flight in a Grumman Albatross.
Nice.
Over the Grand Canyon. And you had to come.
I hope your wife likes flying.
Wait a minute. What are you doing over the Grand Canyon? There's no water out there.
Sure there is. There's a river down there.
Lake Mead. Behind Hoover Dam.
There you go.
And so every year we get a big bunch of seaplanes and specifically a lot of albatrosses get together. We had six albatrosses in the water at my wedding, and you had to get there by boat or seaplane. And
That was the rules.
Yeah. No land access.
That's
so
right.
We had to do things a little bit differently.
Must have made throwing the bouquet very interesting.
Yeah.
Have to dive for it.
That's right. Swim for it.
The guy that performed the ceremony was actually a FISDO guy that does the type ratings in the albatrosses, and there's about three of them in the world that do it at this point. There's only 200 albatross pilots certified, and of course I'm one. And the wedding he did before ours was underwater at Catalina Island.
That guy gets around, doesn't he?
Doesn't he, though?
Wow.
How do you say I do when you're wearing a scuba
mask? You have to hold up one of them little whiteboard things.
Yeah.
It's good stuff.
And how long have you been flying seaplanes?
I've been flying seaplanes about 20 years, since the early 90s.
What attracted you to that?
You know, the freedom, the sense of adventure. When I look at aviation, you know, when I was 10 years old, I was out there chasing airlines saying, hey, guys, I was literally hand-typing letters in fifth grade to the airline saying, hey, what do? I want to be an airline pilot. Well, by the time I was 12, I started looking at aerobatics and seaplane flying and bush flying. And so you know, just one of those strange birds moments. And that's kind of where I gravitated, that I didn't want to be flying autopilot. I wanted to be out there really flying. And I was very fortunate. Got involved in the aerobatics world very young. Got to work with Brian Becker at Pompano Air Center in the early 90s when we were the, you know, they were the hit of Oshkosh there for many years.
Right. When they first brought the Sukhois in.
Yeah, we were the exclusive worldwide distributor for the Sukhois. We made the changes to make the SU-29. And very, very fortunate time. Got to work with Tom Pomerenzi. Got to work with Patty. Got to work with everyone at the time, which is a really cherished time. And, you know, I'm just coming on board as the new executive director at SBA. And Brian and I got back in contact after many years. And I never knew it at the time, but he had grown up as in a seaplane family. He had a CB and was telling me stories of crying when his dad's, you know, as a young boy, crying when his dad sold his CB. And ultimately, just before the aerobatics took off for him, they had Four Lakes and he was doing seaplane instruction. So here we are 20 years later after working for him and finding out a great story.
See, there you go.
Nice.
How many seaplanes do you own?
I own one, but we're working on a Super Cub on floats right now. I've been flying a Cessna 120 on wheels, but also, you know, I've been out there doing a lot of film work before I came on board with SPA. I've been involved with SPA for 20 years as well, since the very beginning of starting to fly seaplanes. But you know, I've had great access. I've made access through going out and doing film work and photography work, and have flown from Alaska to Australia doing seaplane and bush flying. So
nice. sounds like you're living your dream.
I am. And, you know, one of the things that's really important to me is I want to go live the dream, and I hope to inspire other people. And this is why I'm coming on board as the executive director at SPA. You know, we've got 9,000 members. We're a fairly good size organization, but we're still a small organization at 9,000 members. And one of the things that I love doing is inspiring people by going out there and living the adventure. And I hope to have them come participate in one thing that they wouldn't have done otherwise. And there's a perception that there are barriers to entering seaplane flying. Oh, it's expensive. You can't rent airplanes, all this, these other perceptions. Well, you know, there's a beautiful thing about a seaplane rating. It counts as a BFR.
There you go.
There it is.
So there's a perfect way to justify it.
Yep.
And the other thing is you can do it in 2 to 3 days and about 6 to 8 hours of training. So,
trick is finding a seaplane base.
Well, we've got a water landing directory that we provide as a function of the Seaplane Pilots Association, and we list all the training facilities on our website, seaplanes.org. And then in the water landing directory, we also provide a list of all the known seaplane operation areas in all the various states.
Cool.
Wild.
For years, there was a seaplane base right there in Philadelphia,
right there,
on the
right,
river. But
right next to Philly International
Darn
Airport.
If I could ever find it.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it's still there or not.
Just look for that circle and the anchor on your sectionals, and that's one way to...
Well, one thing's for sure. You haven't had too many airports close and sell the runway real estate on it.
Yeah, but what happens if they drain the lake?
It's only happened once that I know of.
Well, you know, speaking of draining the lake, you know, Lake Delton, not far from here, down at the Wisconsin Dells, they had that empty out. I imagine that's a rather rare occurrence.
Yeah.
And have you ever
Fortunately,
landed?
Nobody was on final when it did.
Fortunately. Well, the weather was really bad, which is why it drained out. There was a dam that broke. But, you know, landing on water has got to be a lot different from landing on an asphalt or a grass runway. You really have to be on your toes on that.
It is. It's an incredible freedom, number one. I have this discussion with people quite a bit. And trust me, you guys, to really live, you need to go out and try landing on the water and experiencing this. The sensation that you get, you know, with especially in a J3 or a Super Cub, when you land on the water, you get this rush of the cool air coming off the water. You see the wake coming off the front of the floats. It's an unbelievably freeing experience. And every landing and every takeoff is completely different because you can go to places that most people can't. You know, within a 10 or 15 minute flight, you can be in relative remote wilderness that's inaccessible by road. And so it just opens up endless possibilities for your flying.
Typically, you do not do crosswind takeoffs or landings then?
We try not to. We try to land into the wind. You know, you can look at the wind streaks on the lake, and there are other indicators that you can do. But we can do crosswinds if we need to.
Like if it's a long, narrow lake and you don't have a choice.
Yeah, I mean, there's seaplane lanes, and some airports will have a seaplane channel, and it'll just be like a water runway. And so when we have to land there, we can do crosswind.
And occasionally, I've seen pictures and video. You'll have to do a curving takeoff.
Yeah, on a circular takeoff, which is a lot of fun. And here again, one of those things that really builds pilot skill, stick and rudder skills. Flying seaplanes is a great way to enhance your stick and rudder skills. And you know, flying aerobatics, flying tail draggers, and flying seaplanes. You know, I enjoy all the activities because it really enhances your stick and rudder skills. And circular takeoffs is a good example of that. And they're a lot of fun.
Just remember, don't bother hitting the brakes when you land. They're not going to help.
No, absolutely not. And, of course, if you have an amphib, it helps to land on water with the wheels up.
There you go.
All right. This is Digital Dave. I want to thank you for joining us, Steve.
Oh, thank you guys for having us.
Where can we find out more about you on the field?
We're in booth number 3168, Hangar C. And like I said, always seaplanes.org. And please join us. And if you have any questions at all, I'm trying to be at the booth as much as possible. But we do have people over there working it all the time. And I thank you guys for the opportunity to come up
and talk to you.
Sweet.
All right, this is Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie.
And this is Hot Start on EAA Radio.